I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
To Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, here's a question for you today. Are you ready? If God is love, why doesn't everyone feel loved by Him? Why do some people claim to experience God very deeply and tangibly, while others feel so distant from God that they even question whether He even exists? Well, my guest today says a problem is that some people are looking in the wrong direction. He writes this: you see, every person has a primary love language, and if you can learn to listen to God in your heart language, you'll experience His love powerfully and intimately. I'm telling you what, friend, you are about to be encouraged today. I think this is going to be a light bulb moment for many. Dr. Gary Chapman joins me today to talk about his really insightful, stellar book, God Speaks Your Love Language: How to Experience and Express God's Love. We've got 6 copies to give away, and I just think you're going to be kind of mind blown when you hear Dr. Chapman unpack the 5 love languages as it relates to our relationship with God. And I think one of my love languages is when you text me. So I want to know, what is your primary love language? What do you think it is? And I just love for, as you think about that, think about how that connects to how you connect with God. And we'll unpack this more. But you can text me at 877-933-2484. Somehow the texting me falls into some kind of love language saying, my primaries are acts of service and quality time. So maybe when you're texting me, I feel like we're having quality time. But also, hey, we've got 6 copies of this incredible book, God Speaks Your Love Language. 6 copies. So text the word book in a separate text, 877-933-2484. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Gary Chapman is author, speaker, pastor, and counselor. He has a passion for helping people form lasting relationships. He's the best-selling author of the 5 Love Languages series, and he's the director of Marriage and Family Life Consultants Incorporated. Dr. Chapman travels the world presenting seminars, and his radio program airs on more than 400 stations, and I'm always honored to get to talk with him. Dr. Chapman, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Susie. It's great to be with you again.
Yes, it's been way too long, I'm telling you what. And, you know, we love to start every day talking Scripture, and I know you love God's Word. So is there a passage you've been thinking about these days?
Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Ah, love that verse, particularly in these days.
Yeah. Say a bit more about that. Why that? Why that's the
verse? Well, you know, it's just the assurance in the midst of a lot of uncertainty, which all of us are facing. It's just the assurance that God is with us. If we've given our lives to Him, if we've invited Him into our lives, He is with us through this. And He's going to strengthen us. He's going to give us what we need. He's going to help us understand what the next step should be in our lives. Just an awareness of the presence of God with us and knowing that He is able and He's committed to our well-being. Just great encouragement and great sense of peace.
Indeed, indeed. Well, let's jump right in. So let's, you know, you heard the opening intro here. Why do some people experience God deeply and tangibly while others just do not?
You know, I think sometimes, Susie, it's because we're looking in the wrong direction. We have a preconceived idea of, you know, how a relationship with God should be, what I should feel if I have a relationship with God. And often that's based on how we grew up and maybe in a church or out of a church or whatever. But what I'm saying, of course, in this book is that God speaks our love language. And whatever your, if you know your love language, start looking for God in that love language, and you will find He speaks that love language fluently. It's been a fascinating study putting this book together.
Well, you know, you even write about a couple in the book, and I don't remember the story exactly, but we'll just use kind of a scenario. I think the wife, her love language primarily was quality time, and so she just, you know, that's me, and so she could spend hours with God. That is me. I just thrive in that intimate, just time with God. But her husband was different, and his was physical touch. And so even the way he experienced church was different. And I thought that was such an interesting scenario, Dr. Chapman, because we can tend to judge each other on, you know, just do what I do. And if you're not connecting, you must be missing a step. But say a word just about that dynamic as far as if we have a different primary love language, we are going to show up differently in the way that we connect with God.
Yeah, and I think that's one of my hopes is this book's going to help us with that, because we do tend to judge each other. You know, the physical touch person, that husband, he was the kind of person that when he was in church, I mean, he was into the songs. He would raise his hands, you know, when they sang, and sometimes in the middle of that, tears would flow down his eyes. And sometimes he would even get on his knees when they prayed right there in church. Mm-hmm. And his wife was embarrassed, you know. She'd say, oh, because hers was quality time. And what she enjoyed was that devotional time with God she had every morning in the Word, you know, and just spending time with God. She'd spend an hour every morning. She wasn't working outside the home. She'd spend an hour every morning. And he couldn't understand, how could you spend a whole hour sitting there, you know? I mean, he said, I have a little prayer with God every morning, but, you know, I don't know how you spend an hour, you know. And he wanted her to be more physical, you know, more emotional, involved in the way she expressed love to God and experienced God. And sometimes we think that we're more spiritual because of the way that we feel God's love and express God's love. In reality, we're just different. And God speaks to us differently, and we respond to Him differently. So learning how to allow people to be different and to know that what is meaningful to you, their love language is also meaningful to them, just as meaningful to them.
Boy, that is such an important concept right there, just because if we start judging people for the way they connect with God, we are missing them altogether. God made us all different, and all five of these love languages are expressed thoroughly through God. We're going to revisit those in just a moment here. But, you know, I just want you to tackle this one. You know, some see God as this harsh, distant father, always ready to dole out punishment, like he's a punitive God. Speak to that person listening today. Maybe they had a father like that, and they cannot fathom that God would speak their love language.
Well, I think there are people like that who grew up in abusive homes, verbally or physically, and or maybe with alcoholic parents or parents on drugs and all that sort of thing. And they never felt love growing up. And when you speak of God as their father, that's the image that comes to their mind. And they see him as this harsh person that's always condemning me. When in reality, if you read the scriptures, God is a God of love. Certainly he is a God of holiness and justice, and eventually he will judge those who do wrong. I mean, we all are but held accountable for what we do. But he's a God of love. I mean, this is the whole story of the Bible and the whole reality of Christ coming. He came because God loved us, and he wanted to have a relationship with us. And so I think we have to recognize that our perception of God has often been formed by our history. And recognize, and what we want to do is go to the source, you know, go to where God has revealed himself in the scriptures and find out what God looks like. Read again the life of Jesus, and you will see a God who loves. You know, he went about doing good, and every life he touched was changed, and he wants us to experience his love as well.
Very good. This dear listener says, my love language is acts of service. It's no wonder when I think of Christ's sacrifice for me that emotions overcome me and I become tearful. I am Martha by nature, so I appreciate what Jesus did for me. That's beautiful. I think it almost moves you from kind of a black and white to technicolor in your walk with God when you start to accept and understand how God wired you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, absolutely, because you recognize, whereas before, if you haven't thought of this, when you first realize it, you look at your life and you say, oh, now I understand why my experience was not similar to the other person's experience. You know, sometimes, for example, a quality time person will begin to think, I didn't have a dramatic experience like my husband or my wife or my cousin. You know, they were sitting in the service and they started weeping and their bodies started shaking and they gave their lives to God. I didn't have that. You know, I came to faith in Christ by beginning to read the Bible and then reading books about Christ. And one morning, just in a quiet place, I said, Lord, I believe, you know, and I gave my life to Christ. And so sometimes we think, well, you know, have I got what I should have? Because it wasn't like that. So we can not only judge, we can also kind of put ourselves down because our experience is not like someone else's experience. But when we recognize that God speaks our love language because he loves us and he wants us to know it, and he knows that we receive love in that primary love language. So it's amazing that this whole study was just absolutely fascinating for me. I tell you, Susie, what started the study for this book, people kept saying to me, Gary, what is God's love language? So I just went through the whole Bible again, looking for how God speaks love. And he speaks all five of them fluently, you know?
Yeah.
I should have known that. I should have expected that. And then I started looking at how people come to Christ, you know, their conversion experience, and seeing they're very different. And I knew they were different, but they really seem to parallel the love languages. So if quality time is your language, that's probably how you came to Christ, you know, just over a period of time, spending time reading and thinking and talking to him and asking him questions. And someone else's experience is going to be very different because they had a different love language. But God is getting through to us, whatever it takes, because he wants us to know that he loves us.
I love that. And the whole idea of you may be looking in the wrong direction. You watch how someone else experiences God, and it's, you're not feeling the connection. I mean, think about that. If you're in a marriage, and again, like let's say my love language, quality time, acts of service, and my hubby's writing me love letters. Well, I'm sweet, but it just, you know, do something for me. It means everything to me. It's like if your love tank is empty and God is maybe speaking your love language, but you're looking in another direction that wouldn't even minister to you in the first place, there's a disconnect. So we're going to pause here when we come back. If you maybe wonder what your primary love language is, Dr. Chapman offers three questions to ask yourself, and we'll tackle those. But friend, I want to know, do you know what your primary love language is, and how do you most deeply connect with God? Maybe if you don't know what the language is, but you know how you connect with God, share that, and we'll just talk a little bit about that. Talking to Dr. Gary Chapman, fascinating conversation. His book, God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. We've got 6 copies. We'd love to get you in the drawing. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. To hear that today, no matter what, he's not going anywhere. He loves you. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to our friend Dr. Gary Chapman. Appreciate him so much. And you know him for the 5 love languages. Well, he wrote a fascinating book. I love this book. It's titled God Speaks Your Love Language: How to Experience and Express God's Love. And what he says is, you know, why do some people experience God deeply and tangibly, while others don't feel him or connect with him to such a degree that they even wonder if he exists? Well, Dr. Chapman says maybe you're looking the wrong way, because we each have our primary love languages, and God speaks fluently your love language. But if you see somebody connecting with God in a certain way, and you think that's what it's supposed to look like, and if it doesn't, it invalidates my experience, you may miss connecting with him altogether when he's actually already speaking. He's already acting on your behalf. And Dr. Chapman, let me say this too. First, we got 6 copies of Dr. Chapman's book, God Speaks Your Love Language. I wish we had 100. I love this book so much. But if you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. So, Dr. Chapman, this dear listener says, what are some examples of someone that has the love language of physical touch, and how would that relate to connecting with God?
I think that person would typically have a rather dramatic conversion experience. In the Bible, for example, Saul on his road to Damascus is an example of that. I mean, he was totally against God. He was out to kill Christians. And God got his attention. Yeah, he saw the light. He fell to the ground. He was blinded for 3 days. It was a physical thing, physical and deeply emotional thing with Paul. But not everybody has that kind of experience. Not even in the New Testament, not everybody had that kind of experience. So that's how they would typically respond to God. And then once they come to God in that dramatic experience, the way they typically would express their love to God is in their love language. So they are the people that most naturally would raise their hands when they're worshiping, when they're singing songs, they raise their hands. These are the people who more naturally would get on their knees when they pray. You know, it's physical. I mean, the physical is involved because that's their love language. And when they are feeling God's love or expressing God's love, it's when they feel deeply moved. It touches their body. It touches their emotions very deeply. That's the typical pattern for someone whose love language is physical touch.
And you mentioned in the book, you were describing a gentleman who had that love language, and his wife was quality time. And he even just loved shaking hands with people in church, just as an expression of God's love to him and through him, and because physical touch was his thing. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This listener says, Susie, I've known for a long time that my love language is quality time, but I don't know that I've ever related it to my love for spending hours a day reading and studying God's word and considering what the Spirit is speaking to me. I see it now. I love that. Okay, this one says, I have love language for men, and I'm having a hard time with defining my wife's primary love language. Any advice would be appreciated. Well, you have these three questions you have people ask, and then in this case, we're asking them about God. How do I most often express my love? And so that might be a question, but my love to God. What do I most often complain about to God? And what do I most often request from God? Maybe try to answer that gentleman's question as well as these questions we ought to ask ourselves.
Yeah, I think those same three questions would apply in discovering his wife's love language. You know, you observe her behavior. How does she typically respond to you and other people? If you hear her on the phone giving other people encouraging words, that's probably her language, because we tend to speak our own language. If she's always giving gifts to people, then gifts is probably her love language. So observe her behavior. Secondly, what does she complain about most often? Because the complaint reveals the love language. If she says, we just don't spend any time together anymore, I feel like we're ships passing in the night, she's telling you quality time is her love language. So what does she complain about? And then what does she request of you most often? If she's saying to you, honey, can we take a walk after dinner? She's asking you for quality time. If she says, honey, could you give me a back rub? She's asking you for physical touch. Or if you get ready to, you go on a business trip and she says, honey, be sure and bring me a surprise. She's telling you that gifts is her love language. So on the human level, those three questions can be very helpful in determining someone else's love language. And in our relationship with God, the same thing is true. You know, you first of all, observe God's behavior, observe your behavior toward God. How do you typically respond to God? Are you a person that's, you know, raising your hands, and are you a person that's just talking to God? Do you often give him thanks and praise to God? You know, how do you think about loving God? Because chances are the way you express your love to God is also the way you really feel loved by God. And then what do you complain to God about? Your complaint will again reveal your love language. Because if you feel like, for example, that God doesn't hear you because you prayed and God didn't answer your prayer, and you say, Lord, I just feel like you're not hearing me. You know, I asked you, I prayed, you said you would give it. If I prayed, I prayed, you didn't give it. Chances are, words is your action, or gifts may be your love language.
Or
acts of service. Yeah, he didn't do what I thought he ought to do. You know, and then what do you ask of God most often? Again, it helps you understand how you experience God's love, because you're asking him to do whatever it is you're asking him to do. And so it can be very helpful in determining your relationship with God. But typically, the love language you have in human relationships is the same love language you have in a relationship with God. So if you know your primary love language in a marriage relationship, for example, you can be pretty well sure that's also the language in which you experience God's love most deeply.
You know, I know that there's sometimes anomalies. I think I might be one. Or maybe it's just God maturing us and growing us in the other languages. But for me, I know I'm quality time and acts of service, but I give lots of gifts away, but I don't really need gifts. And I'm okay without them.
Yeah.
But I love giving gifts, but I really, really, really feel like I'm affirmed and loved by others by quality time and acts of service. It's so interesting. Is that just because, you know, you're growing over time and you're reflecting God's heart? He's a generous God. I mean, what about that?
Yeah, it can be two things. It could be that you grew up in a family where gift giving was big.
Yes.
You were taught to give gifts as a child. And so you do that because you were taught to give gifts. And it doesn't reflect your primary love language, but you're doing what you were taught to do. That's often true. You know, so yeah, that's typically what happens.
That's my mom. She's an amazing gift giver. I learned from her, and it's powerful. Okay. All right. So let's you know, the five love languages: words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Okay, so let's take affirmation, words of affirmation. How does God speak to the person who thrives when they receive words of affirmation? And second follow-up question, would you say that the person whose love language is words of affirmation ought to spend time in Scripture looking at things God has said to affirm his love for them?
Absolutely. Let's face it. The Scriptures is a primary place to go to discover God. God speaks through the Scriptures. And for this person, it will be, as you read the Scriptures, there'll be certain passages where God speaks so deeply to you that you feel his love. God has always spoken words of affirmation. Even in the Garden of Eden, he said to Adam and Eve after he created them, he blessed them, you know. He gave them a verbal blessing. And then you read the New Testament, John chapter 5, for example. Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will never be condemned, but he's crossed over from life to death. It's verses like that that a non-Christian reads. Wow. Martin Luther is a good example of that. You know, Martin Luther was a dedicated person. He was trying to please God, trying to do enough to be accepted by God. But one morning he read Romans chapter 1, the just shall live by faith, not by works, but by faith in what Christ did on the cross. And he said, paradise broke in my soul when I read that.
Wow.
So that's what happens to a person whose love language is words of affirmation. They expose themselves to the Scriptures, and you're going to find those verses over and over again in your reading where God really speaks to you through his word. You know, Jeremiah is an Old Testament example. He said, your words were found and I ate them and they were the joy of my heart. So, yeah, that's the kind of experience people have. If words of affirmation is their language, those words just jump out at them and grab their heart.
Would you say King David, would you guess that King David's primary love language was words of affirmation?
I would indeed, because, again, once we receive Christ, we express our love to God most naturally in our love language. What did David do? I mean, how many Psalms did he write, you know?
Yeah.
He was writing, speaking, both to God and to other people. So, yeah, exactly.
So as we go to break, I'm thinking of that person. Maybe you had a dad who constantly berated you, spoke down to you, made you feel like a mistake, and you have this disconnect with God, and words of affirmation is your love language. So which I would think, I'm no expert, but I would think that makes what your dad did all the more traumatic for you. But this is what God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will turn your mourning into gladness. I will give you comfort and joy instead of sorrow. That's from God's heart to yours. I pray that encourages you today. We're walking through the love languages as it relates to how we connect with God. I would love to know what your primary love language is. And if you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Good word. Everything I've needed, Lord, you've always been. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. That's just true. When we're speaking about the five love languages and that God is fluent in those love languages, and you've heard about the five love languages, no doubt, from Dr. Gary Chapman. He's our guest today. But he wrote a book on God speaking your love language. He speaks fluently all of these love languages, and we tend to miss him if we think we should have an experience like somebody else, even though we have a totally different love language. And earlier, one of our listeners asked some examples, asked you for some examples. When they have the love language of physical touch, how would that relate to someone in the church? And you talked about they may raise their hands, they may encounter God in a special way, they may go to their knees. I love this. He says, what he said about physical touch and Paul's conversion makes so much sense to me now. I've had many supernatural experiences with the Lord, including visions and dreams and other things, and I'm definitely one that is physical in worship. Well, thanks for texting, friend. We've got 6 copies to give away. If you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So we talked about words of affirmation, and I know we touched on quality time, but if someone just hopped on, I want them to hear. How does quality time impact our, if that's your primary love language, how does that play out in the way that you walk with God?
I think what happens to this person is, as I mentioned earlier, they tend to come to God over a period of time while they expose themselves to the scriptures or a devotional book or a Christian book that talks about a relationship with God. And their initial experience is just typically a quiet response to God. Yes, Lord, I get it. But once they've accepted Christ and asked Him into their lives, then the way they most naturally express their love to God is by spending quality time with God. By which I mean, these are the people who will sit down basically every morning or at least sometime during the day, and they will take and read a chapter in the Bible, at least a chapter in the Bible every day, underlining it, talking to God about what they underlined, asking God questions, confessing things that they realize they failed in yesterday, asking God to give them help for the day. These are the people who also read devotional books. I mean, they can spend a whole hour just with God and just listening and talking to God like that. For other people, this doesn't come nearly as natural. George Mueller is a good historical example of that. He, as you may remember, started orphanages all over England, and he never asked for any money. He just trusted God to bring the money for all the orphanages. But he would spend 2 or 3 hours sometimes in prayer with God, in conversation with God. I was reading his diary just recently, and here's one that I read. This was 1832, okay? Here's what he said. Today I spent all morning in the vestry to procure a quiet season. This is sometimes the only way, on account of the multiplicity of engagements, to make sure of time for prayer and reading the Word and meditation. Well, you know, most of us, if that's not our language, we surely wouldn't be spending 3 hours. But for him, it was his lifeblood. It's that time with God, you know, that just energized him. And then he could handle all those things that he was handling for God. So that's typically the way a person with quality time will relate to God, is by spending extended, and it doesn't have to be 3 hours, but it might be 30 minutes, it might be an hour. But other people, for whom this is not their language, they can't comprehend spending an hour with God. And they'll say, well, what do you say to God for an hour? I mean, you know.
That's hilarious.
They don't understand. Part of it is listening to God. It's not always talking to God, you know. Yeah. So it doesn't come natural for some people. Others, this is the most natural way to spend time with God.
Well, you've pretty much described how I came to the Lord and what happens for me every single morning. And I don't say this for any other reason except to say, you know, I spend a good hour and a half, 2 hours every morning, but it is just, I get up very early and it is, there's so much output that happens for me during the day, and I am an introvert. And so this is like a deep, deep well of replenishment for me. I can't imagine living without it. It's like oxygen for me. That when I read this years ago, when you and I talked about it, this book, it was like a light bulb moment. It just brought affirmation for me going, this is how I wired you. I wired you for me. And it just gave me permission to be me, you know? Yeah. I love that. And you even say, when someone's primary love language is quality time, uninterrupted times of communion with God are not difficult. They're joyous. They're not burden-causing. They're burden-lifting. Somebody give me an amen. Wow, wow. Okay, so let's talk about this third one, the love language of gifts. Talk about that one, if you would.
You know, again, these people are drawn to Christ when they realize what He's done, what He's offering to give them. I remember a young lady, and I think I talk about this in the book. She came to one of my seminars, and she said, Dr. Shem, my father was an alcoholic. My mother was very demanding, and I ran away from home when I was 16 years old. And for 7 years, I just wasted my life in drugs and alcohol and illicit relationships of all kinds. And she said, I ended up at Teen Challenge, which was a treatment center for people who are having trouble with drugs. And she said, for the first time in my life, I heard that God loved me enough that he wanted to give me the gift of forgiveness of all of my failures and the gift of eternal life, that I could be his child forever. She said, it was overwhelming to me just to even think about that. But she said, the more I went to the meetings and the more I read the scriptures, the more I realized it's true. Forgiveness is a gift. I don't have to do 7 years of good things to be accepted by God. He wants to forgive me. Give me the gift of forgiveness. Give me the gift of eternal life. And she said, I just opened my heart to God and accepted the gift. And she said, it was the beginning of a whole new world for me. So here she is now several years later coming to my marriage seminar. She's married now. And she brought me a loaf of bread. And she said, every morning I cook 4 or 5 loaves of bread. And throughout the day, I just look for people that I can give them to. And I want to give this one to you.
Wow.
She came to God because she realized the great gift he was giving her. And so what does she do now to show her love to God? She's giving gifts to other people. And these are the people who most freely and naturally will give gifts to God, is because it's just their nature. It's who they are. They're gift givers. And so they give things to others in the name of Jesus, knowing that what Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. So they're giving gifts really to God, but they're doing it by giving it to other people.
Wow. I mean, that really does speak to those who connect with God through activism in some ways. You know what I'm saying? Acts of service and gifts, I would imagine both of those would be that way, where you're stepping up and going, this is how God has loved me, and this is how I will love others. Would you say the person who has the love language gifts, a way for them to really, you know, maybe ignite their time with God would be to focus on, in the Word, what Scripture says about the ways God has given gifts to them? I mean, just so that they can hear his voice? Or what's a way to cultivate intimacy with God if your love language is gifts?
Yeah, I think what they're doing when they read the Scriptures, the things that really jump out to them are those passages that talk about God's gift to us. And those are the things that really grip their hearts. And of course, the Bible's full of those things. In fact, James said, you know, all good gifts come down from the Father of light. And so you read the Scriptures, you're going to see these various gifts that God has given us. You know, he gave gifts to the church, you know, the apostles and prophets and teachers and all of that. And all of us have spiritual gifts that God has given us. And all these things begin to really resonate with the person if their love language is gifts.
Let's look at a couple of these passages you reference in your book. He withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Every good gift comes from him. Ask and you'll receive. And best of all, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Just amazing. Talk about God's character in this regard. I mean, when we focus on our primary gift and our primary, you know, love language, to give gifts and to pay attention to what God is like. But talk about a little bit more, if you would, about, I mean, again, like mine is quality service, quality time, I mean, in acts of service. But he gives good gifts to all of his children. And why it would be really good for us to understand all of these aspects of God's character as we relate to him. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think it's important. And that's one of the points I make toward the end of the book, is that we don't need to limit ourselves just to expressing love to God in our own love language. You know, try some of the other love languages, because God speaks all 5, and anything you do in any one of these is going to be expressing love to God. Just like in a marriage relationship, you want to give heavy doses of your primary of their primary love language, but you want to sprinkle in the other 4, because let's face it, all of us appreciate any of these languages. You know, a gift is number 5 for me, but I still appreciate a gift. You know, so whatever your love language is, that's the most natural way to express your love to God. But if you really want to continue to enhance your relationship, you think in terms of some of the other languages that maybe aren't quite as natural for you, and begin to express some of those to God as well. It's just a way of enhancing and building the relationship.
Boy, that's so good. Okay, we're looking at love language number 4, acts of service. And again, we've touched on all these a little bit throughout the conversation, but unpack that one in a little broader way if you can.
Well, this is the person who is attracted to God when they realize what God has done for them. If you look at the Old Testament, Moses kept saying to the people of Israel, remember what God has done for you. Remember how he brought you out of Egypt. Remember how he split the Red Sea. Remember how he gave you manna in the desert. Remember how he gave you water in the desert. Remember, God did everything for Israel. And God has done so much for us. You know, he's given us life to start with. And it's a gift of God. But these are the people, they read the things that God has done for us in the scriptures. And you look at the life of Jesus, and Peter said about Jesus, he went about doing good. It's the shortest sentence describing the lifestyle of Jesus. He did acts of service. You know, he healed people. He met their need, met them where they were. But he was always doing good things for people. And this person is drawn to God because they realize how much God has done for them. And, you know, the John 3:16 thing, this really appeals to these people because they think about what he did on the cross, the greatest act of service he could possibly have done. He paid the penalty for our wrongdoing. He suffered our death so that we could be forgiven by a holy God, accepted by God because Christ paid the penalty for us. And that act of service, when it breaks in the heart of a person whose love language is acts of service, it draws them to Christ. So, and then what will they do? These are the people who just naturally will volunteer to do acts of service. You talk about needing somebody to work at the soup kitchen, and they raise their hand. Oh, I can go on Thursday nights, you know. They volunteer to somebody in a class to say, this family's sick and one's in the hospital and we're going to make some food. I'll bring some. I mean, this because for them, this is the way you show your love to God. You know, you do things for God. And here again is the danger that if this is your language and you're always volunteering, always doing things, you may look at other people and say, let's say you look at words of affirmation people who are, you know, always thanking God, praising God. They're into words. The hymns and the songs that we sing at church are just such an expression for them to God. And the acts of service people will say, look, if you really love God, you get out here and do something, not just say words. Get out here and do something. And they fail to recognize that for them, words of affirmation is the natural way for them to express love to God. Acts of service is your natural way. So, again, I'm just hoping that this concept is going to help people understand each other better and not expect other people to express their love to God in the same way that you express your love to God.
I really want that so much. Imagine the time, the joy that we've gone without because we commit that comparison game, you know, where we feel like we're not enough because we're not like them, or they're not enough because they're not like us. And we see in part. But if we could understand how fearfully, wonderfully made we are, and that God purposely wired each of us in a unique way to enjoy us, to love us so we can enjoy him. I mean, what a better journey this would be. And we're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll talk about physical touch as a primary love language, how that relates to our connection with God. And we did touch on it. But then, Dr. Chapman, I'd love for you to, if you will, give us an example of each of these five love languages, how Jesus lived out each one of these in some way, so we can just learn from him. And then my other question for you to think about is, how do we get out of balance? What might that look like if we're focusing on one gift and not the others? More with Dr. Gary Chapman in just a moment. Having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're talking to our friend Dr. Gary Chapman, and you've heard of him, I'm sure, about the five love languages, where we're taking an interesting angle, drawing from his book, God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. And by identifying your primary love language, making a connection to how you connect with God. We've got 6 copies to give away. If you want to text the word book to 877-933-2484. We've been walking our way through these love languages. We're on number 5 now, physical touch. And we've touched on this, no pun intended, but unpack it a little bit more. If physical touch is somebody's love language, how might they connect with God in a meaningful way?
Typically what happens to this person, they can be riding down the road in a car, and they can hear a song on the radio, a Christian song, or they can hear a pastor speaking, and maybe they haven't been to church in years, or maybe never went to church. And they are so moved emotionally, they have to pull off the road because they start weeping and their body starts shaking. And they know that God, what they're hearing is God speaking to them. I mean, they have that kind of experience. It can be in a car, it can be in a church service, but they have that kind of experience. And not everyone has that kind, but these people do. And they also then express their love to God in a physical way. And getting on their knees, we mentioned getting on their knees or raising their hands, or they'll be singing a song in the car or at church, and tears will flow down their face because they're just so moved by the words of this song and the presence of God. They'll say, I just felt God. He was there, you know. Yeah. And again, other people don't always have that experience, but if this is your love language, chances are you will have this kind of experience.
Wow, so good. And again, so important so we understand that we don't fall into the rut of judging each other, comparing each other. And I think even to embrace how God made you, if He wired you for physical touch in such a way, and then He ministers to you and meets you that way, what a little kiss on the head from heaven. I mean, how precious. So let's look, if we can, at the five love languages. And if you just can think of examples, I really am putting you on the spot here, but of ways that Jesus reflected these in His life during His time on earth, words of affirmation, how did Jesus do that?
Well, if you read through any of the Gospels, you'll find over and over again He's giving words of affirmation. For example, in the book of John, there's a whole lot of them in John, Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to Me will never go hungry. He who believes in Me will never be thirsty." He's talking about spiritual, not necessarily physical, though He does meet our needs. And he said, "My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day." I mean, yeah, he did a lot of teaching. You read through any of the Gospels, and Jesus taught and taught and taught and taught. He used words to communicate to people.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think of that example, and I can't believe the name escapes me. One of the disciples, Jesus saw him under the tree, and that disciple said, really, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And yet Jesus said, "You're a true son of heaven." I mean, He affirmed him. Yeah. Instead of condemning him for his cynicism, He affirmed the gift of God in him. I thought that was just powerful. So words of affirmation. Okay, quality time, I guess there's an obvious application there, but sure, speak to how Jesus lived that one out.
Well, Jesus preached to multitudes. He gave words to multitudes, but He spent quality time with 12 men. Mm. And the scriptures say, He ordained 12 that they should be with Him, that He could spend quality time with them. And He did for 3.5 years. And their lives were so radically changed because of those 3.5 years with Jesus that, they shared the message with us, generation after generation after generation. And you will see Jesus in other places where he zeroes in on individuals and spends quality time with individuals. Mary and Martha is a good example of that. Mary sitting at His feet, just soaking in this quality time with Jesus. Martha's in the kitchen doing acts of service. People have sometimes put Martha down, but Martha was also serving Jesus. But yep. Jesus was just making the point, don't disrupt Mary. She's doing the thing here that's most important for her, So, he did that, quality time.
Mm-hmm. And gifts, right away, when I think of gifts is multiplying the bread for the masses. But any others come to mind?
Yeah, He did that on more than one occasion, of course, taking care of the physical needs. And He talked about giving them water, one at the well, water. But He was talking about spiritual gifts. Did a lot of talk about spiritual gifts that He gave people. I don't know that He ever gave anybody a ring or a... other than food was the more physical thing that He gave them. But He gave them eternal life, and that's the greatest thing He could ever give.
And He gave some people their life back. I mean, part of that may be acts of service, physical touch. Yeah. But, I mean, talk about a gift, giving, the woman with the issue of blood, giving her life back. Because He not only healed her, but He affirmed her that she's a daughter in front of everybody. You didn't take healing from me. I gave it to you. And, it's just powerful. Acts of service, we could go all day on this one. But what comes to mind for you?
Well, that Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 that I quoted earlier, where Peter said about Jesus, he went about doing good. That's a picture of his lifestyle. Everywhere he went, he was caring for people. He was doing good things to people. And his life is just filled with acts of service. But the greatest act of service was his death on the cross.
Yeah.
And you reflect on what a tremendous act of service. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He took the full penalty of our wrongdoing so we could be forgiven. The greatest act of service that he could ever have done.
Amen. And physical touch. You know, I think of the people that he touched that the Pharisees wouldn't even, darken their doorstep. And he physically touched people. But say a word about that one.
Yeah, well, one was the leper, of course, in Matthew chapter 8. He came to Jesus and knelt down and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched. He touched a leper man, but reached out his hand and touched him. And said, I am willing, yeah, be clean. And you didn't touch lepers in that day or this day. He touched the blind man. When he made mud and touched it, put it on his lips, his eyes, I mean. And then in Matthew 10, Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, and people started bringing their children. And the disciples said, no, this is not for children. And Jesus said, "Oh, bring the children to me, for of such is the kingdom of God." And the next verse says, he put his hands on them and blessed them. So Jesus touched people, physically touched people as well as spiritually.
Love that. And Anne writes in, as far as gifts, that Jesus gave Peter a great catch of fish. That was a pretty significant gift.
You're right.
Yeah. That's very good. So is it possible to get out of balance where you're just focusing on a primary love language and the way that you connect with God? And what would balance look like?
You know what I think happens sometimes, Susie? We do our thing, what's natural for us, and we do it over and over and over, and eventually it gets to be routine. For example, the person who worked at the soup kitchen, acts of service, volunteered. And when they first started going down there on Thursday night, every time they dipped beans, they looked up to the person in front of them and they saw Jesus, because they remembered, do it to the least of these, you do it to me. I mean, it was so powerful, so meaningful to them. But that was 10 years ago. Now they still go to the soup kitchen every Thursday night, but they're not even thinking about God. It's just what they do on Thursdays. They go down and dip beans. It can become routine. And God never intended our relationship with him to be routine. And that's why I think from time to time we need to think of some different, what I call dialects of our love language. You've been doing dipping beans for 10 years. I'm not saying you should stop necessarily, but maybe you ought to do something different as well. Maybe bake some cookies and take them to the rest home and give them to somebody. Or maybe, depending on your ability, maybe trim shrubs or do grass for somebody or clean gutters or something. Just to wake it up so that you're not doing just necessarily the same act of service all the time. And as I mentioned earlier, you can even stretch that and try some of the other love languages as well. God wants our relationship with him to be vital and vibrant and never simply going through a routine and making it routine. And so, there are a lot of things we can do, and I discuss those in the book, ways to awaken our consciousness of God as we're expressing our love language to him.
I think that's such a powerful word, Dr. Chapman, because, again, as it relates to marriage, it would be the same way. Your spouse's love language, let's say it's words of affirmation, so you write a poem every single week. Well, you can do that for a long time and get your heart out of it, where you're on cruise control, autopilot, and you're fully disengaged. I think the big thing is keep your heart in it and stay engaged. So how much more so with the things of God? And that's why something different, something new, a different approach is exactly what someone may need to reignite their faith today. This has been such a great conversation, and we know you're a busy man. Thank you for giving us your time today.
Well, thank you, Susie. Enjoyed being with you again. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. I always appreciate our conversations. And friend, I pray you've got some encouragement, some new ideas about how to connect with God in a way that just fits with how he wired you. He wants to connect with you, wants to speak with you. He loves you with his whole heart. And we love you, too. Pray you found some encouragement here today. We'll leave that drawing open for a little bit. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Dr. Chapman's book, again, is titled God Speaks Your Love Language. Have a really, really great rest of your day. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.